From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Smithfield Foods' largest investor firm is now in favor of selling the company to a Chinese-owned firm, and President Obama is hoping Congress will grant him TPA, or Trade Promotion Authority. It would give him the right to negotiate trade deals on behalf of the United States, deals that Congress could vote up or down, but not change. Dave Dickey will have all the details of these and other news stories in just a moment. Don't forget that 26 minutes from now, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And along the way today, that we'll hear Darrell Good's latest thoughts on the size of the corn and soybean crops this time on harvested acreage and what last week's FSA numbers say about both the corn and the soybean crops and what prices might do. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And checking the numbers in Chicago as they finished up at the CME Group for the day. Nearby December wheat at $6.53.5, up 7.25. The March at $6.64, 7 cents higher. A settlement price for next year's July or the harvest month at $6.63, up 5.5 cents. The hard red at $6.94, a nickel higher for the day. December corn at $4.53.25, up 2.25. The March at $4.66, 2.25 higher. And the May contract at $4.74.25, up 2.25. July corn at $4.80¾, 2 cents higher. September, $4.85¼, up 1¾. And December corn at $4.92, a penny and a quarter higher. That, of course, for the 2014 corn. November beans at $13.07¾, 7.5 cents higher for the day, or rather lower for the day. January futures at $13.10½, down 7.5. And the March at $12.95, down 5¼. May futures $12.75, 2¾ lower. July at $12.67½, down 3 cents. And November of next year, $11.76½. It did finish 5 cents higher. Bean meal futures at $411.10, down $2.30. Bean oil at $41.97, 12 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the October contract at $126.60, up 65. September feeders at $157.62½, or 52½ higher. The October up $1.87½ at $162.10. And October lean hogs at $90.17½, 12½ cents higher for the day.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the outside markets now as they finished up for the afternoon. Trade still ensuing with the crude oil November contract at $103.65 a barrel, $1.10 lower. The RBOB gasoline at $2.62¼, down a nickel and 9 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.87½, 0.9 cents higher. The difference between the two is 74¢ and 0.9 cents. Natural gas at $3.60¢, that's down 8¢. Diesel fuel at $2.95½, 4¢ and 0.8 cents lower. Gold futures at $1,327. A settlement price down $5.60, and the U.S. dollar trading 80.45 is up 0.019 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies and a high of 73 degrees on an east-southeast wind at 9 miles an hour. Clear with a low of 46 this evening. Tomorrow, sunny and 77, southeast winds again at 7, and then tomorrow evening, mostly cloudy and 57. Wednesday, sunny skies, a high of 79 degrees as it begins to warm up just a bit, mostly clear on Wednesday evening and 53. Thursday, a high of 80 and sunny skies. Thursday night, mostly clear and 55. By the time we get to Friday, skies will be sunny, 82 degrees. Friday evening, clear and 59. Saturday, sunny and 80, and Saturday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 57 degrees. On Sunday, we'll see a chance of showers, mostly sunny skies otherwise, and a high near 73. More on the weather forecast when we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, at the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. It is the 23rd day of September. On the phone line, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And was it quiet trade for most of the day today?
For the most part, it was kind of low-key, not a lot of excitement per se, kind of back and forth, drifting type of mode. Seemed like whenever they bought the corn, they sold the beans in equal amounts on the spreads today. Kind of a mixed day. I think it's more of a spread feature than anything. Overall, traders seem to be looking for more harvest information to see what type of yield number to put on the crop here as we start to get a little bit more aggressive in the harvest activity as we move into this week.
On that subject, and note, have you collected any data today talking to producers?
Same as last week. Pleasantly surprised. A lot of guys went worse expectations of, 140, 150 bushel corn coming in, 180, 190, some much higher than that. Bean activity, 50, 60 bushels. Seems to be that trend we've been in coming into the weekend and starting this week. We'll see how these numbers unfold as we keep going through the harvest season here. This afternoon's harvest progress report expected to show corn harvest 7-9% complete, beans 2-3%. So we're still in the earlier stage. Ideas are on the crop conditions report, maybe see a stable reading in that good, excellent category for both corn and beans, Todd.
So a couple of things yet to happen. We'll have to get a little further into the season before pressure lifts on the marketplace as the corn crop comes in. And I suppose there may be some downside pressure yet as we try to head towards that at least halfway through the harvest season. What, 7-9% isn't very far in, so I would think there might be some more downward pressure left in the marketplace.
Well, traditionally, a lot of guys or analysts or whoever trading the market will look at 50-75% complete with harvest before really getting a low in place. Ideas are that we could follow the traditional seasonal time window of around that Columbus Day holiday. Typically, is a low period. It's going to be awful hard to get a big up going in here. The end users know that there's a lot of grain coming to town. Whether producer sells or not, we'll see. But in past history, when we've had rallies during harvest, it was when the producer was surprised the crop was not there, not surprised that it is there.
And what do you think your estimates will look like for the next crop production number? They're due out in the month of October.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. When you start low in acres, you got to raise yield a little bit. And when you start messing with acres and yield and demand, there's going to be a lot of moving targets there. But we feel the overall ending stocks estimate is going to be the same from last month, and that's virtually going to be unchanged. And when you look at those numbers, corn's going to remain around this 1.8, 1.9 area, and the beans around 150 million bushels until we get more into the winter and see what type of demand comes forward here, if any, to take advantage of these lower prices as we move in this fall.
I suppose of some seasonal importance is that number, I think, comes out on a Friday, but it's the Friday before Columbus Day. So those two things are happening pretty close to simultaneously.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of action through here. I don't feel we're just going to see massive harvest pressure here and fall off the face of the earth because the end user's empty and he's going to need to be a buyer here on this break to get some inventory. There's, some companies out there that told their guys to be, fairly active here and get some coverage on in case we come up with a short crop next year, or else if we would see some weather problems in the southern hemisphere. The risk is to the downside, but I don't think it's just going to be sharply, sharply lower.
And before we get to the USDA numbers in October, of course, we have the grain stocks report. That's due out on the 30th day of September, just not very far away.
Yeah, kind of cleaning up old crop business there. It's old news. I believe the numbers are going to be just maybe a little bit more tighter here, maybe if not unchanged, just signaling that we used quite a bit of the grain up. that we actually robbed some new crop to fill old crop demand there. But we feel the bean number is going to be right at this 125 area and the core number at 659. I don't know if it's going to be a big market maker. What's going to be a big market maker is this 2013 production number.
And of course, that grain stocks report is due out on Monday of next week. Turn your attention to the livestock market. Anything of interest there? Maybe you can go through some of the cattle and feed numbers that were released on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, the overall placement number was below expectations. Marketing's a little bit outside the range there. We've basically got enough information here to give reason for the trade to be a buyer. The fear was it'd be a cattle on feed report. The market did trade higher, but kind of close at the lower end of the range. It looks like the fat market still caught between this 124-128 level. Basis the October contract on.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Nope, that's about it.
All right, thanks so much.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. You can always listen to him again in a couple of ways. I know you'll be busy in the combine, and you might not be able to listen to us on the radio. So you can do it on our radio stations, or you can do it on your smartphone at m.willag.org. Go back in the evenings at night, and you can listen to the Closing Market Report, Commodity Market Report, our Commodity Week, all the rest of our programming, the pre-opening, the opening midday reports as well at willag.org on your computers, or you can just dial this number and listen about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day, posted with the latest numbers and a bit of analysis. That number is 217-333-3434. Let me repeat that number again for you. That's 217-333-3434. As we start the harvest season, a couple of things to be careful about. You're going to be working hard. You're going to be working long hours, so I'll tell you that during my show in the afternoon, I'd love you to listen, but I also want you to shut your eyes, and if you fall asleep, that's perfectly fine. A 10 to 20 minute nap will keep you safe as you work those really long hours for harvest. Also, if you happen to be a commuter and you're out on the back roads, be sure to be watching for trucks and tractors and combines. They move really slow by comparison to you. At 30 miles an hour, you're barreling up on them at about 40 miles an hour or 35 yourself, so could be a rough accident from the backside. Make sure that you pay attention to them. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, Smithfield Foods Incorporated's largest shareholder says it will vote in favor of a proposed takeover bid by a Chinese meat producer after failing to find an alternative bidder. Starboard Value LP had said earlier this month that it would vote against Shangwei International Holdings Limited's $34 a share offer because it wanted more time to seek alternatives that would provide better shareholder values. The New York investment firm says it could not secure an offer under existing time and financial constraints. Unless another proposal emerges, Starboard plans on voting in favor of Shangwei's $4.7 billion offer. The vote has been set for tomorrow. President Barack Obama says there is hope for optimism that Congress will grant him trade promotion authority in the near future. A grant of TPA would make it more likely that U.S. negotiators will be able to wrap up needed trade agreements such as the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. Last July, the president asked Congress to renew TPA, but sticking points with some Senate Republicans has held up any progress on the issue. However, the president said he hopes that a recent statement from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell in favor of TPA is a sign that the measure will receive bipartisan congressional support. UN climate experts today called their latest report an unbiased and reliable assessment of global warming. As they presented it today to officials from 110 governments for a final review. The landmark report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is expected to state with more confidence than its previous four assessments that global warming is mostly man-made. Thomas Stocker, co-chair of the working group that wrote the report, said it has undergone multiple stages of review. Stocker said millions of measurements on land, at sea, in the air, and from space underpinned what he called an unprecedented and unbiased view of the state of the climate system. China's manufacturing rose to a six-month high in September, in the latest sign that the world's second-biggest economy is gradually recovering from a prolonged slowdown. The preliminary version of HSBC's Purchasing Managers Index released today climbed to 51.2 from 50.1 in August. Numbers above 50 indicate an expansion in activity. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now up next, the midterm update of FSA's planted acreage figures for corn and soybeans has spurred analysts to forward figure changes that might come in USDA's October reports. I'll have more on how one ag economist, Darrell Good at Illinois, has done the numbers. The Farm Service Agency, FSA, collects planted acreage figures directly from farmers. It coincides with numbers produced by USDA's NAS, the National Agricultural Statistics Service, although the numbers differ because FSA only gets reported figures representing a large but incomplete proportion of the expected crop size. Well, the last update from FSA has most analysts, including University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good, eyeing a 2 million acre or better drop in the number of acres planted to corn. Here's how Good thinks that would impact the marketplace.
With an average yield near 155 bushels, a 2 million acre reduction would reduce the production estimate by 310 million bushels and result in year-ending stocks of about 1.5 billion based on current consumption forecasts.
Again, if and when USDA decides to update the planted acreage figures, a 2 million acre cut in corn at 155 bushels to the acre would cause a 310 million bushel drop in total supply. Holding consumption steady, it would manifest a 1.54 billion bushel carryout. Enough to change things, says Darrell Good, but not dramatically.
Depending on average yield, the potential change in the estimate of harvested acreage of corn is not likely to be large enough to alter prospects of surplus supplies, but certainly could be large enough to stabilize corn prices.
Soybeans offer up a more interesting price story based on the FSA numbers. The planted acreage figure is expected to drop by about 800,000 acres. It would be a small change, says Darrell Good.
However, with an average yield near 41 bushels, an 800,000 acre reduction in the estimate of harvested acreage would reduce the soybean production estimate by about 30 million bushels and result in year-ending stocks of about 120 million based on current consumption forecasts.
So, he thinks, while any change in the estimate of harvested acreage for soybeans is not expected to be large, it would confirm prospects for another year of very tight supplies and consequently support prices at or above the current level, a level that is already on the higher side. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the cash grain market. On the phone line with us is Greg Johnson. He's of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers from how far away are hauling in today?
Well, They must be hauling in from quite a ways away because we've had a good line ever since 7 o'clock this morning when we opened. So the corn moisture is coming down, and with some reduced rate drying specials today and tomorrow, that's getting even more of them excited and getting going today.
So you're busy today then, I take it.
Very busy today, yes.
All corn, or do you have beans coming in too?
We think we'll see some beans maybe later tomorrow afternoon and then later into the week. Today, so far, we haven't seen any beans, but they sure look like they will be ready by the mid to late week, especially if the weather forecast holds true.
The average moisture on the corn?
22. It's drier than what we thought.
Wow.
We had a lot of hand-shelled samples coming in last week in the upper 20s, and we've had anything from 19 all the way up to 29, but I'd say the average is 22 to 23 today.
And test weights are good or not?
Test weights are average, not exceptional. I think that hot, dry August probably hurt the test weight a little bit.
And I know it will be only anecdotal, but the yields are acceptable for the farmers?
Yes, the early corn yields are good. I guess it remains to be seen whether the full season or the later corn that got planted in late May, if that'll do as well as what the early corn is, but the early corn yields are certainly encouraging.
I see that Bloomberg released its trade estimates for the ending stocks number, or the grain stocks report, which is due out a week from today. 694 for corn, 127 for soybeans. The WASDE projections were at 661 and 125, so I guess those are all in line.
Yeah. The government probably won't let the bean ending stocks number get below 100 and 105. I mean, it just seems like they keep it right around 120, 125. So, the corn number, that's probably the wild card because the feed usage number can change from quarter to quarter. So, that'll be interesting to see what they come up with there.
It'll be fun to watch. And then, of course, we have the WASDE figures about a week to 10 days after that one. So lots of things coming out.
Yeah, and that'll be the big one because a lot of the traders are convinced that we didn't plant 97.5 million acres of corn, and with the government finally using the numbers that were turned into the FSA, that number will change a little bit from what they've been using based off of their survey.
You have an estimate there in the Andersons on what that number might change by?
No, I mean, I've heard everything from 3 million lower to basically unchanged. So somewhere between 94 and 97 million probably is what the trade's looking for.
Yeah, so maybe a drop of 150 to 300 million. And total bushels raised?
That's it. 1.8 carry out down to 1.6. I mean, it does help out, but if they raise the yield, then maybe it's only 1.7 billion carry out. That's still a lot of corn left over.
Bottom line is at 1.8 or 1.5, it doesn't change things too much in the surplus category.
Yeah. It probably tells us how low we need to go, but it certainly feels like we still need to go a little bit lower yet.
Well, it is harvest time, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay. And your basis levels look like what this week?
Corn is 10 under. The quick shipment premiums have all but gone away in corn. There's still a few places that are offering something, but they're going away quickly. So we're now at our all-fall bid of 10 under, which is 443. Bean basis, there's still a quick shipment premium for this week. We're paying 12 cents more for beans delivered this week than our all-fall bid next week.
And your bids for the bean is what?
Bean bids are 1308 this week and then 1296 for all-fall.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. You can pick him up again on our website at willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Back in 2 minutes, this is the Closing Market Report.
It's St. Clair of Assisi Day, patron of good weather. It's also the first day of autumn. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, Robert Bosch was born. A German engineer and industrialist, he was responsible for the invention of the spark plug. In 1869, Mary Mallon was born. She is better known by her nickname, Typhoid Mary. She was an infamous household cook who was responsible for major outbreaks of typhoid in New York City in 1904, 1907, and 1914. In all, she was directly responsible for 3 deaths and 51 cases of typhoid. Ironically, she was herself immune to typhoid fever. And in 1880, Sir John Boyd Orr was born, a Scottish scientist and nutrition expert. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his work to eliminate world hunger. In 1936, he published a report, Food, Health, and Income, a dietary survey by income groups made during 1935. It showed that the cost of a diet fulfilling basic nutritional requirements was beyond the means of half of the British population, and that 10% of the population was undernourished. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line with us from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Actually, you know, I don't remember whether I have Mark or Josh on the line with me at the moment.
You got Mark here.
Oh, hi, Mark Russo. How are you? I'm sorry. I was just paying attention to something else, and I guess not enough to your name. Well, let's talk about the
not
weather.
For you know, we're always 33% right. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've got a 1 in 3 chance of getting the name right.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the weather. It looks like it should be good open weather for producers to harvest corn.
Well, there's, let's call it a 99.9% chance of no rain over the next 5 days across the vast majority of the Midwest. It's fair and dry weather from now through late Friday before then a system pushes into the Corn Belt in Illinois and Indiana here coming up into the upcoming weekend. And as it looks right now, that looks to be about a 55-60% coverage system of amounts in the range of 1 1/4 inches. But all in all, it looks like more areas will be on the bottom end of the range versus the upper end of the range. And still no sign of any, you know, turn to any wet patterns here across the Midwest as we look ahead now through the first weekend of October.
And temperatures anywhere going to dip low enough to cause a problem?
No, we do not see any frost or freeze over the next couple of weeks, which takes us through the first full week of October, and that's starting to get behind climatology, where sometimes in the northern sections of the Midwest, particularly the Dakotas, Minnesota, by late September, early October, you normally have your first freeze, and even for those areas, warmer than normal temperature pattern will prevail, and so no frost or freeze through the first week of October.
Well, we're getting a lot of harvest here. It could start on it, but it should stretch out through the month of October and into early November. Have you got any work that looks out that far to tell us whether we have dry conditions or wetter than normal conditions?
It's tough to say right now, Todd, and at least from now through the first week or so of October, you know, call it kind of more of a normal type of rainfall pattern. But at the present time, there's just no indication of any real wet patterns becoming established, although I would note right now that we are at least beginning to see some changes taking place across the northern hemisphere, which could promote at least some colder weather deeper into October, and that'll be the question whether that colder weather and colder than normal for the second half of October, that would be if that would be accompanied by very wet conditions, which too early to discuss any details on that.
All right. Thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
You're welcome.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Our thanks to Mark and, of course, Josh Darr and John Davis at Chesapeake Energy for all their work over the years as they volunteered with us on Monday afternoons. You can listen to them again if you'd like on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Be safe on the combine this afternoon. Make sure you take your time for yourself, that is, and A little nap, it never hurts, and it'll keep you working a whole lot longer and a whole lot better throughout the afternoon, and more importantly, a whole lot safer. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.